Leicester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're 2 days away from a critical World Cup qualifier for the United States. Tonight we'll talk about it. We will also have on U.S. International Sebastian Legette, who could figure in the starting lineup in this one. We'll talk about potential lineups. We'll talk about the matchup with Honduras. Dynamo fans, you're getting a little bit crazy about the second half in Portland. Take my advice. The team is a work in progress like every team in Major League Soccer after three games. It's a team in progress in understanding the 4-3-3 system and its pros and cons. My advice, sit back, enjoy the entertainment and the show. Just think about the entertainment we've got off of three Dynamo games so far. And yes, don't stop debating the system or challenging the coach and the players, because that's what it's all about as well. But I also wouldn't panic. And I think this is going to be very interesting, because the Dynamo are clearly, we've had more entertainment in three games than we've had in 3 years. So let's stay on point here, and let's talk about it tonight, too. I want to hear your thoughts, Dynamo fans, about that second half. What do you think went wrong? Dynamo played a wonderful first half in Portland, took a 2-1 lead, scored a spectacular goal on the break. But in the second half, it was comprehensive from Portland. Let's talk about it tonight. And there's a number of differing theories here that we can banner around. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Don't simply listen. Come to the table here tonight. Bring some advice. Bring your thoughts. Bring your opinion. Debate. Yes, no, agree, disagree. It's all a part of it. But this show is built with you in mind and your contributions in mind as well. So again, it's 713-780-3776 to call in tonight. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, throughout the show, because I can read some of those tweets that you guys bring to the table if you don't want to come on the air. But 713-780-3776. Are you as bored as I am about talking about Arsenal and Arsene Wenger? Is it stunning that it is quite likely that he is going to sign a new 2-year deal? And quite frankly, is this simply about the criteria of money and the tills being filled? But to that, if they don't make the Champions League, they're going to lose out on Champions League money. So Arsenal fan, does your club really want to win? And by the way, the only way to make a statement is not show up to games. But the problem is these places have become destinations for fans. Not always the true fans are getting in there. Going to Barcelona, to Manchester United, these are destinations. These are travel destinations. Chelsea, Stamford Bridge. So give me your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Again, the United States is up against it. Injury challenge. I'm calling you Europa League last week for Fox. Gladbach and Schalke, 16 minutes in. Fabian Johnson has to come off injured, not a part of the squad. No Bobby Wood, no DeAndre Yedlin, Jermaine Jones suspended. Four starters right there. So if you're a U.S. soccer fan, how are you feeling going into this match against Honduras, who, by the way, have those in-form attackers by the name of Romel Kyoto and Albert Elis, who are terrorizing MLS defenses, and they play right here in Houston? 713-780-3776. All this and more tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We've got genuine topics for genuine soccer fans. And again, I want your opinion here tonight. I'm going to give away some tickets to the Dynamo New York Red Bulls. We will stream at ESPN975.com. The Dynamo not playing on the international weekend. Major League Soccer is, but the Dynamo will get a bye. So the good news is, after Tuesday, they're going to get back their five internationals who are a part of CONCACAF. Adolfo Machado with Panama, who, by the way, will be taking on the U.S. on Tuesday. Kyoto, Bonet Garcia, Elise, and then DeMarcus Beasley. Not going out on a limb here. DeMarcus Beasley, I believe, is going to be your starting left back. I mean, what other choice do you have? So, opinions and thoughts desired here tonight. Remember, this show, when I set it up many, many years ago, this was to provide a platform for people. It wasn't about just a host. It was about a platform for you, the soccer fan, the listener, no matter what team or what league or what level of the sport that you follow. It also was to shine the light on things that people are doing in the game. So that's why the show was set up. So take advantage of the platform, because the platform goes out to a lot of people. And our thanks, as always, to a couple of our sponsors, Azure Salon, Bud Light, Liberty Kitchen, Daspit Law Firm, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, The Gorgeous Gale, Bar Munich, and King's Court. Without these sponsors, there is no soccer talk on the radio. And this is an opinion-based show. Nobody's telling me what to talk about. Nobody's telling me what content to bring. And nobody's telling you. So bring it. Michael Bradley quoted as saying, "For us, the reality is simple." He's talking about playing Honduras. "We let ourselves down in the first two games, and that means our margin for error is now very, very small. If the United States in San Jose on Friday were not to get a result, things will get very dicey here, if they aren't already. And then they got to go down to Panama on Tuesday. This is not easy. The likes of Panama, Costa Rica, these countries in CONCACAF, because they have players playing all over the world, they are gaining experiences and their national teams are improving. This is a challenge Friday night. There is major league athleticism in the form of the counterattack of Honduras. And I don't think the U.S. is going to play very open against them because they know that. They're going to try to limit their space behind them. But at some point, the U.S. has got to try to win this game and break down Honduras. So we can talk about that tonight. Chelsea's in cruise control with Eden Hazard. They don't have to play well. They still win. Kind of reminds me of 2 years ago under Mourinho. Arsene Wenger, again, the reports have Wenger remaining at Arsenal. If you're an Arsenal fan, you may just be keeping him in the job by not demanding his ouster. It's run its course, hasn't it? It's run its course. And as the great rock band The Clash once said, with a slight changing of words that I'm going to put in, should he stay or should he go? You tell me. 713-780-3776 to the phone lines. And Troy, I think he wants to talk about Marco van Basten.
Yeah, Glenn, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, Troy. How are you? Yes, sir.
I'm doing well. Enjoy the show. I just had a quick question, actually. I saw this documentary on Marco van Basten last night. So I did a little research and kind of where he stands historically in the sport itself. And he seems kind of far down from the stuff that I was seeing him do. I mean, he was doing all kinds of... I mean, he seemed to be a great player. I mean, he kind of... I know he never won a World Cup, but he took the Dutch for the Euro Cup there. In the 80s. So I just wanted to kind of get your perspective on him as a player and maybe why he's, I don't know if he's underrated or I guess just your opinion on why he might be a little bit farther down on the all-time great list.
Yeah, I don't know if he's underrated. Thank you very much, Troy. I appreciate that. 713-780-3776. Van Basten, to me, is not underrated. He's 52 years old. And what happens is, as time goes by, relevancy becomes less and less. People like me may remember him more because we're a little bit older. But you got to remember, and I'm sure it said it in the documentary, he retired at 28. And that, in some ways, despite all the things that he did with Ajax and Milan, that defined his career, injury. Because it's kind of like, you know, when we lose somebody brilliant at their craft, whether it's a musician, whether it's an athlete, you go, God, what could have, what, you know, you sit there going, what more could have happened? Could the Netherlands have won a World Cup? Because that guy was that good. What type of music would we have heard from Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix if they didn't pass away early? Unbelievable control, was a very smart striker, scored all these tremendous side volleys and FIFA World Player of the Year in 1992. He won the Ballon d'Or three times. So I don't think he's underrated. I just think he's a guy that, you know, as everybody gets older, and if you're not in the spotlight, you get thought a little bit less and less of. He's 52 years old now. Unbelievable goal-scoring record. I think 128 goals and 133 appearances with Ajax at Milan. Had 90 and 147. Played in some of those unbelievable Milan teams. And he's been in management in the Netherlands with Ajax, Heerenveen, the Dutch national team. So pretty incredible. He was on those great teams with Ruud Gullit and Frank Rijkaard at AC Milan. So thank you for bringing up Van Basten. Who we got next here? All right, let's go to Bilal. Bilal, what's on your mind tonight? Bilal?
I just wanted to bring up Arsene Wenger should be gone. I don't understand why Arsenal's keeping him, why there's a debate. I heard during one of their games that one of the members of the board hired that sign to fly over their stadium to say keep him there. So I mean, 21 years is a long enough time.
Well, I'm going to go with this theory, and I've used this theory a lot on the show, Bilal. And Juan, if you dropped, call back. We'd like to have your opinion tonight, 713-780-3776. Look, the criteria, these are businesses. So first and foremost, we have to remember these are businesses. And the criteria for people that own teams, if you're making money hand over fist, maybe you don't want to change things. Now, and maybe you don't want to win maybe as much as your fan base. I would even cite the Texans in the NFL here, right? It's one of the richest sporting franchises in the entire world. If your criteria is first and foremost a business, which it is for a lot of these guys, and why wouldn't it be? Because of the investment they're making in it, and you're making money hand over fist, maybe you don't change things.
Maybe I would look back at the interview Paul Scholes had when United was under Van Gaal. He said that you don't want the Arsenal approach, which is fourth place in the Premier League and then the FA Cup. They don't have either one of them right now.
No, you're right.
I don't know what they're playing for or what it is that if your talks with Sanchez and Ozil are on hold, and Sanchez may go to Juve. You have nothing.
Yeah. Listen, they're owned by ultra wealthy people. Stan Kroenke is, with all due respect, is not a soccer man. They have a shareholder named Usmanov, whose net worth is $3 billion. He's a minority shareholder. His net worth is $3 billion. Went from $3 billion to $15.2 billion. So, you know, I for one, I'm just you know, I just think it's a bit of a soft team. I think there's incredible talent, but I think it's a soft team. But the two biggest shareholders of this team are Usmanov and Kroenke, and they have a lot to say about what's going on with Arsenal. And frankly, I don't even think much of the time that their criteria may just be, hey, let's keep making money. Now, if they don't make it into the Champions League, they're going to lose a lot of money, tremendous amount of money. So
they will.
Yeah. So maybe something happens here, but all the reports we're hearing and seeing is that, you know, in the ego, that's Arsene Wenger, and nobody's saying he's never been a great manager. Of course he has been. But in the ego of him, he's going to take the job for another 2 years, and he says he's going to rebuild the team. This is a boring storyline to me. It's a bore. And the thing I don't like about Wenger is that he's always blaming. It's a blame game.
He is. And if you want to compare them to another team that made the move, is Leicester City. They made the move, got rid of their manager, and look at where they are. They're in the final eight of the Champions League. They've moved up three or four spots in the table. So they're...
Yeah, but I'm not gonna take that as a fair comparison, Bilal, because those are two very differing and unique situations. One, Ranieri hadn't been at Leicester a lot. Two, he has taken them to the most unbelievable ever Premier League win in history. By the way, the Champions League, he helps stake them that far into the Champions League, okay? Now, they are winning games with the managerial change, and things have happened. I'm not saying it wasn't the right thing to do. I personally would have liked to have seen him given a little bit more time to try and turn it around, but who can argue with the results they've gotten? Bilal, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure getting Bilal on. Let's go to Jason. Jason, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, I know you're probably up against a hard break here, so I'll keep it short and sweet. But as a Liverpool fan, I'm actually happy Arsenal's staying because it just usually means we'll probably get the double over them. I know some of the Arsenal fans aren't going to take too kindly to that, but Liverpool's seen good runs against them in recent years. But mainly the reason what I wanted to talk about with Arsenal is I think the reason why they're not making a change is because they don't want to fall into the we just want to make a change to make a change sort of approach, because they're not like I think the ownership doesn't want to see someone like, you know, the great one there, because they know it's only going to be a 1 year stint or anything like that. They're waiting to see what happens, and I think they're just playing the long con, and that sucks for an Arsenal fan. But you know, we kind of saw it with Liverpool when they brought Kenny Dalglish in. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I think they just don't want to make a change because they don't want to make a change. I'll hang up and listen.
What about Thomas Tuchel at Borussia Dortmund, who's been linked? I mean, I don't think everybody's a hired gun and is only going to come there for a year or two. I think there's people that, my God, would love to go to Arsenal and be the manager there and try to turn things around and bring a fresh attitude and fresh approach. I think it's gotten stale. I think it's when you get the same thing. Yeah, what's the definition of insanity? When you do something, the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And I know there's a lot of Arsenal fans in Houston. I'd love to hear what you think. But look, he's obviously got the board very much behind him. I mean, I don't know. It is kind of mind-boggling to me. And don't for one second think, all you pro-relegation fans, that there isn't teams that can get into a place where there is, you know, some staleness and mediocrity. And I would go to Stoke, safe from the relegation zone, 30-plus points away from Chelsea. I mean, what's there to play for Stoke right now? Pride? Contracts? Yeah, but, I mean, to every year go into it, not thinking you got a shot at the top four, it's brutal. 713-780-3776. So those in the middle of the Premier League table, just coasting. Just coasting. Bottom end, yeah, you're fighting for survival and all that money. Top end, you're trying to get into the Champions League, and I think we do have a great race with United, Liverpool, and all these other teams. Oh, yeah. So I know my man T. Scott, producer, was out listening to the little old band from Texas last night, Astrodome.
They did not play this song.
Energy. No, I know. You know what? You know what else they don't ever play? Heard It on the X, which is my favorite ZZ Top song.
I'll come back with that for you.
You and me, we did get to see the great show for the Super Bowl, so that was fun with Gary Clark Jr. All right, we're going to take a break. As we go to break here, I want to remind you about a big event. It's a pediatric cancer event. It's Friday, June 16th. Red Army, Bayou City Blues are holding they're calling it a sportsman's dinner. I'm going to say it's a night with two legendary players, Manchester United's Norman Whiteside and Bobby Tambling of Chelsea. There's a dinner, there's a raffle, complete dinner, drinks, 6:30 p.m. It's a Doubletree down in Dallas. If you're a Manchester United fan, you're a fan of the Premier League, you're a Chelsea fan, you're a soccer fan, be there, please. We're trying to get people involved in this because this is a big event. There's a lot going into it, but we need people to come to the event. Facebook group / Houston Red Army. We'll have Jesus Martinez, the part who's with the Bayou City Blues Chelsea supporters group, in tonight. He'll talk more about the event. But it is for pediatric cancer, something close to my heart. We'll take a break. Sixth caller right now. You get a pair of tickets. Houston Dynamo, New York Red Bulls, April 1st. Sixth caller right now at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Do you remember back in 1966?
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. As we roll on here, getting the number to call in throughout the night, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. How about a quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm? John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. It doesn't matter whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, plant, construction. They're going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, we thank them for their great support of this show. It's definitely very, very important because the sponsors keep us on the air here. This is your sport. This is your platform. So you call into the show at 713-780-3776. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekend. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm are going to fight for your right for compensation. Let me just remind you what we got tonight. Tremendous interview tonight with U.S. International Sebastian Legette. He will join us on the program tonight. Throughout the night, you can call in at 713-780-3776. For those of you who are Dynamo and Mexico fans, we will have on Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. Tom is excellent. Absolutely love when he comes on the show. Tom will talk about Mexico, Costa Rica, obviously, which is Friday night at the Azteca Stadium. But also I'm going to lead him into Cubo Torres because Mexico has so many competitions this summer. Confederations Cup in Russia, the Gold Cup, just announced here in Houston. Mexico will play Ghana in June. Got to think it's a no-brainer here to say Cubo Torres, if he keeps his pace up here, is going to get a bit of a run. So let's see what happens with Cubo, the national team. It has all gone according to plan to revive and bring back the Cubo Torres career. And it's come in a number of ways. A container has been created for him to regain his confidence. He's taken accountability and come in fitter. He has the manager in Major League Soccer that he had his most success with in Wilmer Cabrera, who's obviously done a wonderful job of helping this young man regain his confidence. But I would also say that when you get two wingers like Romel Kyoto and Albert Elise, I could be playing center forward and my game is going to get better, if that tells you something. So the significance of these two signings, you cannot talk about it enough. Yes, it was important to get A.J. De La Garza. Yes, it was important to get Machado and Leonardo in that experience. But you don't transform this team, the Houston Dynamo, without those two wide players. You don't. And what's very interesting is the entertainment value is back because it's been like watching paint dry. And I'm not being harsh on anybody. I'm being truthful. Nobody wants to say that. I'm the only one who says it in Houston. By the way, I did tell you about Mexico coming here. So we're gonna bang our drum a little bit on that one. All right, let's go to Rami. He wants to talk about Arsenal tonight. And again, if you want to call in at 713-780-3776. Hi, Rami. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Glenn. Actually, I got a couple of topics. Let's talk a little bit of Arsenal. I got a hot take on the U.S. national team as well after hearing you talk about them.
Do it.
As far as Arsenal goes, I just don't understand why everyone sort of wants this new approach. Wenger needs to be out. He's been there a long time. The guy's been there for over 20 years. You've essentially got your two-star players that don't want to be there, and Ozil and Sanchez. Neither one of them wants to be there. And they've sort of turned that clubhouse inside out, and you can see it. You can see there's no cohesion. There's no teammates. There's no accountability because they know they're not going to be there next year.
Yeah, but who runs the clubhouse? The manager, Rami, runs the clubhouse. So if the clubhouse is a mess, you got to go to the top.
Absolutely not. If you've ever, if you see the clubhouses, they're ran by the best players. Essentially, if your best player isn't in charge of your clubhouse and the manager needs to step in there to hold you accountable, you're not being held accountable.
But that's the whole role of the manager in the modern game. You have to get the star players on your side.
What happened to Chelsea last year?
Yeah, what happened? The manager had a huge ego. He felt he was bigger than the players. They turned on him. They didn't play for him. And out he goes, and he blames everybody on his way out and kicks his toys out of the sand. Look, best managers, whether you're a manager in Major League Soccer or you're a manager in the Premier League, you have to get your star players on your side because they're so influential on all the others.
But how do you do that when a guy doesn't want to be there? I mean, I think he made poor choices in picking up Sanchez.
Don't you think, Arsene? Well, then maybe you didn't pick your players right, because Arsene Wenger is very much involved in picking the team. So I don't think you can throw it all on the players. And I also think players act out when they see the same thing over and over. Nothing's changing and improving. Yeah. So, accountability on both sides. I'm not going to say there isn't. But at the end of the day, for me, you got to go to the top. And you might even have to go above Wenger to their ownership group.
And I believe in Wenger. I think that after this year, after the summer when they sell, they're not going to be a mid-tier team. They've always been in the top. I think they're short one guy. It's probably going to be an Mbappe that they end up pulling the trigger on and pulling in there. I think he would completely pull that team together. As long as he got rid of Sanchez and as long as Ozil is gone, you've got enough talent on that team to do something with it. And lastly, I don't want to stretch this out too long. I got a question about the men's national team. I don't understand why we keep using these guys that are a little bit older and longer in the tooth and not giving an opportunity to some of the younger guys. I can't keep watching Clint Dempsey and Wondolowski, who is my least favorite player, especially after the last tournament with Portugal, and he missed that wide-open goal. They keep just sort of using these older guys because of experience, and you're never going to have these younger guys get that experience. When does that transition happen?
Well, it doesn't happen in the middle of World Cup qualifying when you've lost to Mexico and Costa Rica. You lean on experience, and that's what Bruce Arena is doing. You're going to see a conservative approach against Honduras. At some point, they're going to have to attack and try to break them down, but they're not going to concede a lot of space behind them because you got two guys that are terrorizing Major League Soccer that are looking for the platform on Friday night to not only boost Honduras, but their own individual sort of dossier to the world, and that is Ramel Quioto and Albert Elise. You saw what they've been doing here in Houston to Major League Soccer teams, right? So that's a real fear going into that game, missing a number of people. But this is not the time to experiment. That's why I think you're going to see DeMarcus Beasley at left back. Who would you play at left back against Honduras right now? Answer me that.
I mean, left back is fine. I mean, I'm okay with having experience on your defensive side. Right. I'm not okay with having a 30-plus-year-old Dempsey and Wondolowski as your strikers.
Wondolowski's at the end of the roster. He's not coming in. Chris is not coming in to stun the world and get a starting role, I don't think. I think he's had to replace somebody who's injured. So don't get so fired up about the bottom end of the roster, right? I mean, it's kind of like when I hear Texans talk in Houston and they're talking about the last guy and they're breaking this down up and forward, and he's not even going to play. I mean, he could play,
Why not give a young kid the opportunity to travel and see what international soccer is about? And get a taste of it, even if they're going to be sitting on the bench. Wondolowski, like you said, he's at the end of his career. What good is he going to do?
Well, listen, I think based on what's happened with Klinsmann, based on the severity of the situation right now, you lose on Friday night or don't take a full 3 points, the pressure intensifies again, and you're going down to Panama. That's not going to be easy. And you got a ton of injuries. So I think Bruce Arena does best, and that is he goes back to proven players that he's worked with. I think we could see a Sebastian Legette really involved in this game. Could a Dax McCarty get a run in midfield? I think it's going to be fascinating to see what the lineup is. Do you even think Clint's going to start? I don't think Clint's going to start. Do you? I don't think he's 90 minutes fit. I think he's somebody you save for the latter stages of the game if you need to break somebody down. I think we may be jumping the gun a bit, but the thing I worry about is it's been a little bit of a love fest with Bruce Arena coming back, and let's get down to the business of figuring out how we're going to win this game on Friday, because not going to a World Cup every 4 years would be a major blow for soccer's growth in this country. I don't think there's any question.
I agree, but I think at some point in time, I know we always say that it's not the time. You have to take a chance on some of the younger talent. I think you have to give them an opportunity, even if it's sitting on the bench. I don't think we can keep you as something that you said a minute ago was sort of doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. You got to try something different.
Don't forget the Gold Cup is right around the corner, and the Gold Cup is a great place to do that. And you will see people getting opportunity and being blooded, so that eventually down the road they'll be a bigger part of the national team.
I think we got a lot of talent in this country. I don't think we utilize it 100% correctly.
Hey, I love your takes tonight. Thank you very much for that.
Have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. So on Facebook Live, Mark says, Schweinsteiger, Dax, Janino, who plays a different position? I haven't thought about it that much, but you know what? That's a nice three-set in midfield. So I'm liking that Chicago's bringing something a little bit more interesting. Francisco, thank you for your shout-out on the show. We also heard about the Dynamo and a number 10. And if it's a number 10 that comes to the Dynamo, and I know everybody's talking about that eventually, and that could happen in the transfer window. The Dynamo got some room to make some moves. They have a DP slot. It has to be a guy like Diego Valeri in this 4-3-3 system that has a work ethic. It can't be somebody that doesn't do a lot when the ball's lost. You already have two players like that right now that you're trying to compensate for, which is Kyoto and Elise. So it has to be a man like Diego Valeri, who, by the way, you saw how hard that guy works, and he's considered by his coach Caleb Porter in Portland, a number 10. And by the way, I was on the way in here, heard Brian Dunseth and Tony Miola interviewing Valeri. Boy, is that guy an asset for this league, Diego Valeri. And I've had him on this show. What an asset he is. I mean, this guy learning English, making sure that his family infiltrates here. And I hope the Dynamo were taking a page out of the book of Portland and Valeri, that all these guys coming in, they've got to learn English and be able to do interviews in English language, even if they're basic, because that is such a reach to everybody. That says so much when you go to another country and you want to learn their language. I saw Diego Char in broken English, and he made an effort on national TV to speak in English. I think that is absolute gold when it comes to endearing yourself to people. And I think it's a necessity. If I move to Mexico today, first thing I'm doing is learning how to speak Spanish to show people respect, but also because it's going to help me navigate and survive. 713-780-3776. Who we got next here, Tyler? Who we got next?
Hello?
Luis, how are you? What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Davis. I just wanted to see that second goal that Dynamo scored against Portland, man, that was one of the most beautiful,
what a beautiful
that I've seen. You know, he happened so fast, and the three forwards were involved. And everybody talks about Kubo, right? I mean, I'm glad he's doing good, and I really believe, you know, that the team, you know, the coach and everything was built in order to make him succeed, and I'm glad that, you know, he's not putting a lot of pressure on himself, and I'm glad that he scored in the first game. And look what's happening now. And also, I would like to point out, you know, what this guy does without the ball. You know, he has really quick feet, and he just makes game for the other guys. I think him and the Hondurans, you know, they're getting along very, very well. And I just hope the defense, you know, will figure it out. You know, I think we have a little problem back there. Your thoughts, Glenn, and I enjoy your Facebook page, and I'm a fan, you know, and I always appreciate everything you do.
Luis, thank you very much for the kind words. I appreciate you bringing up that trio, because that trio has been incredibly dangerous, and I love that second goal. I thought that was an amazing goal. It involved all three guys. Kubo Torres checking back into midfield, nods the header out wide. Just when you think Elise is going to get caught, he separates himself, and then he whips in this piece of delivery that's hit hard, it's hit low. And I want people to focus on what Romel Kyoto did. Because remember, he's at the back post. He collects it with his left foot and pulls off a maneuver that's very difficult, that few people have focused in on. He opens his foot, his hips up to the back post, and then sort of leaning and moving in the other direction, basically passes it into the net. I want you to go back and look at that goal and watch, number one, how Kyoto collects that ball, number two, how he sets his right foot up, and how he gets his hips opened up to face the target. And he makes that goal look almost simple. And it's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, the way he had to collect that ball and finish, unbelievable. That was a great goal. At that point, he put the Dynamo 2-1 up in stoppage time. And then bottom line is second half, it was all about total domination, comprehensively, every facet of the game from the Portland Timbers. I don't think there's any question. And I want your thoughts on it. We got a lot of calls coming in here. 713-780-3776. Second hour tonight here, we'll do a roundtable. Randy Waldrum, the Houston Dash women's coach, will be in studio. Jesus Martinez from the supporters group, the Bayou City Blues. And then Matt Peterson, independent broadcaster, but you know him from doing the radio. He'll be doing the NWSL this year. So a lot of good topics. We're hitting them. I saw my great friend from high school, Bill Buchanan, joining here on Facebook. What a great guitar player you are, Buck. All right, we'll take a break. 713-780-3776.
The shackles of automata will shatter like the bones.
1-0-0-0-1-1-1-0-1-0-1.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We got a great second hour coming up. Just walking into the studio, Houston Dash head coach Randy Waldrum. You know him from his days at Notre Dame winning a national championship. He's going to talk some Dash tonight, but we're also going to tap into Randy about everything going on in the world of soccer. Jesus Martinez, who heads up the Bayou City Blues, the Chelsea supporters group, he is in studio as well. Matt Peterson, who has done play-by-play on Houston Dash and NWSL games, will join us as well. Raymond, by the way, I would love to come to Richmond Arms sometime for a Barca game. Thank you for the invite. Clay, the 2017 Sportsman's Dinner event is going to be massive. It's going to be cool, and it's all about raising funds for cccfund.org, which is a 501c charity. In fact, on Friday, I'm going down with some friends to the hospital. We've got a bunch of soccer balls, courtesy of Nike, we're handing out. It's going to be awesome down there. Those are the biggest days in my life these days, because it's a different world you enter, and you are reminded about how fortunate you are to talk a little bit on the radio like this, or do a little television, whatever it may be. So we do appreciate that. So the date of the Whiteside event and Bobby Tambling event is Friday, June 16th. And again, if you want information on that, we're going to be talking to Jesus Martinez in a bit. We will have that. You can go to Facebook group / Houston Red Army. But I know we have some phone numbers as well, and Jesus will get that to us once we get on the air in the second hour. All right, let's knock a couple of phone calls out here. We got a Sebastian Legette interview coming up as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have here first, Tyler? Ryan? Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's on your mind?
David.
How are you, Ryan?
Good. I'm doing well. Long-time listener, first-time caller. So I was watching the Premier League game this weekend, Liverpool versus Manchester City.
Yes.
Boy, that was a hell of a game. And I just wanted to talk about Jurgen Klopp's philosophy of the game. I mean, he has a high-pressing game, and in the Premier League, with being physical and the long season, do you think it's sustainable over a long season for him to play that way and then win a championship? I'll hang up, listen.
Yeah, it's a great question. That's a high-pressing system. That takes a tremendous amount of physical effort. We'll ask Randy Waldrum about the 4-3-3 tonight a little bit as well. There's a lot of pros and cons to the system. It can suffocate opponents. The makeup of your players has to be ones that have a tremendously high work ethic. It's kind of funny how Liverpool has produced results and has the best record against top teams in the Premier League, yet haven't been able to get it done against others. I did one of their preseason games on ESPN early in the year with Steve Nichol, the former Liverpool great. And I just remember on that broadcast, we were talking quite a bit about the fact that they didn't buy in certain areas of the team, especially defensively. So those systems are very difficult. I mean, you see the Dynamo working their way through it, and you got to think that Wilmer Cabrera has seen a lot of pros to this system based on the players he's acquired, and there's also some liabilities to it. You know, you do concede space, and if opposing teams see it quick and early and hit those spaces, they can cause real problems. And you saw 45 minutes in the second half where I think the Dynamo reverted to being very much a counterattacking team in that game and defended way, way too deep and couldn't get a hold of the ball at all, couldn't take the pressure off themselves. As far as Liverpool is concerned, I for me, they're a couple players away from it. I'm sometimes astounded how these big clubs, you know, can't find a specific player that could change their team. Like Arsenal, maybe having a midfielder that's a little bit more domineering and a little bit more indigenous. So, you know, what do I know? I mean, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but, you know, you have clearly seen here in Houston the impact of the signings of Ramel Kyoto and Albert Elise. What's happening now does not happen without those two guys. And I know you can say, well, what about De La Garza and all these other guys? Yes, absolutely. But from an attacking standpoint, you went from a team with no overall team speed now to having blazing speed. And everybody in the league, penetrators, and guys that are good on the ball, by the way, they're not just runners. And all of a sudden, you have to be looked upon completely differently by every team in the league. Every team. Whereas in the past, the Dynamo sitting deep, they didn't have any pace up front to counterattack. They had nothing. And you're sitting deep. And you wonder why you can't get out of your own half or you can't get into an opposing team's penalty area. In three games this year, the Dynamo have been in and around the penalty area an astounding amount of times based on what we've seen in the last couple of years. And again, I'm not bagging on the last couple of years, but I want to be honest here. I don't want to sit here and pretend it's been good because it hasn't been good. And I know people don't want to hear that sometimes, but look, it's onward and upward now. The product is exciting, it's entertaining, and it's better. So appreciate that phone call. What do we have next, Tyler? La Raza, the gang. I love it. What's up, La Raza?
Hey, Mr. Davis. How you doing?
I'm very good. You can drop the mister. You can just call me Glenn. I appreciate it. That's very nice of you. Well, your mother raised you. Your mother raised you well.
What was that?
I said your mother raised you well. Your mom and dad raised you well. Very polite.
I appreciate that, Mr. Davis. Mr. Glenn. Sorry. I'll just make it short and sweet because I know you're trying to go to the break. Pros and cons of the Houston Dynamo, and also my other question was, what is the odds? I know it's not the Blitz. What are the odds that Seattle does a repeat? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Pros and cons of the Dynamo. Well, why wouldn't we be anything but excited about what the Dynamo season's bringing us? We've had three games of high entertainment. We've had a wide game with some traditional wingers, which, you know, I get the whole inverted winger thing, but to me, sometimes it doesn't lead to entertainment. I look at it a little bit differently now. We need entertainment here in Houston to attract fans. I think everybody has to think of that. I don't believe in this whole thing where people say, all you got to do is win and everybody's going to come back. That is a vital element of it. But in this town, with this fan base, with people from all over the world that are seduced and love the technical side of the sport and will come to see that, you have to present that. And you're getting that with the two Honduran wingers. It's exciting. The Dynamo are not hesitating on the ball. They're trying to get it forward as quick as possible to these guys in good areas. They are trying to suffocate teams higher up the field. We've seen that more at home, and it's been effective. But, you know, it is a little bit of Russian roulette right now because it's a system they're trying to figure out, and they're probably learning from it on a daily basis as they go into different environments, like on the road on artificial surface against, you know, a team that has done tremendous in the offseason, getting Sebastian Blanco and David Guzman in midfield for Portland. So I think it's exciting. The cons, what's the team going to look like when Kyoto and Elise are not here in the Gold Cup? It's going to look very different. And what sort of 4-3-3 will it be then? But again, it's about understanding and moving forward progressively with this system. And for all of you who are going to expect Kyoto and Elise to do a ton of defending, I wouldn't expect that. I think the Dynamo are going to have to learn and probably are going to learn to defend, in many cases, without a lot of contribution or the amount of contribution one would expect from those two guys. And why would you want to saddle them with too much defensive responsibility? So I think it's all a work that on a daily basis is trying to get better. But look, we saw what the Dynamo did to two teams in the beginning of the season in Seattle, in Columbus, and we saw a heck of a 45 minutes in Portland. I think it's all positive. And you're going to have to defend at times when your team shape is not perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. You have to defend when your numbers are down. So there's a lot of questions around it. Absolutely. But there's a lot of pros to it. There's a lot of cons to it. And you know what? For a radio guy, it makes for great talk. I can tell you that much. We got something to sink our teeth into. And this is fun. This is fun. And this is what it should be. Who do we have here? This is AY. What does AY stand for, AY?
Hey, Glenn, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, sir. You?
I'm fine. So I just want to ask you some questions and make a comment. First of all, do you agree with me that N'Golo Kanté of Chelsea is the most valuable player in the Premiership this season?
Well, I'm going to say he's a pretty remarkable guy, isn't he? And I don't think what's happening at Chelsea happens without him. What a signing he's been. He's going to win a Premier League with two different teams in, I guess, 12 or 13 months. It's pretty incredible. So if you want to call him the MVP right now, I can go along with that. By the way, where are you from? Are you from Nigeria?
Yes, I am. I met you at Bayern Munich some weeks back.
Very good. You're a super eagle. Oh, I remember you. Absolutely. How are you? Very good.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Then, though I'm a Chelsea fan, I'm saying that I wish Arsene Wenger to sign that contract because without Arsene Wenger, the league won't be interesting. For me, I say Arsene Wenger should stay. He shouldn't go out. You should stay.
Oh, I like that take. That's a different take. You're saying Arsene Wenger needs to stay because it makes the league exciting. I like that.
He needs to stay. He can't without Arsene Wenger because he brings there's that flair he brings into the Premiership. So he shouldn't go.
Well, he's one heck of a post-game interview, isn't he?
As a Chelsea fan, I want Arsene Wenger to stay.
You know what else is funny, AY? Earlier tonight, yes. I don't know if you were listening, there was a Liverpool fan who wants him to stay as well, but for a differing reason, because he thinks it's going to make it easier for them to get into the top four. So he doesn't want Arsene to go anywhere.
No. He can't go anywhere, no. He will retire on his own, but he can't be. He's the only manager in the Premiership that his job is secure. That's a fact.
Pretty incredible. I would love to be a fly on the boardroom wall in there to really... You know, I mean, is it the criteria there? Is it just about the dollars? But if it is, and they don't make the Champions League this year, that's a lot of money that's going to be left on the table.
Whether they make the Champions League, whether they don't win the FA Cup, his job is secured. That is why there's no pressure on him. He makes enough money for the board. And Arsenal is not about winning trophy. It's about making money. That's the difference.
But aren't all these businesses, aren't they all about making money?
No.
How about the Texans here in Houston, one of the richest sporting properties in the entire world? We haven't won anything yet.
Let me tell you what Thierry Henry said, and I quote. He said that Arsenal is no more a football club. It has become a business. It's no more a club. A situation where Jamie Vardy rejected going to Arsenal. Players don't want to go to Arsenal, knowing that they can't win a trophy.
Yeah.
Let me go so that you can take some other calls.
Well, listen, AY, you stay in touch because I think I need a super eagle in studio for one of these roundtables sometime. Okay.
You have my number.
Because
you're on Facebook.
You're a man with real opinion. And by the way, I want to see some Super Eagles down at these Dynamo games. There should be a Nigerian flag at every Dynamo game. Every game. So you got to get that done. I'm going to put that on you.
Get that done.
All right?
I will.
And then I'm going to bring you in and we're going to talk about Kanu and JJ Okocha. Okay?
Any day. I'm ready.
All right. We're going to get that done. And I'm being serious here. I'm not joking. This is why this is a great show.
I'm ready.
I can bring a caller in here who's got great knowledge. Maybe he's got more knowledge than me.
No, I don't. I don't.
Thank you, AY. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye.
We'll talk soon. All right, that's a great phone call. I love when we have a huge Nigerian community here, by the way. Imagine tapping into that. I think there's 70,000 Nigerians in Houston. Hey, soccer fans, check out the King's Court, 903 Hutchins and Edo. And it's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. Chelsea supporters group, they go down there with Jesus Martinez, Manchester United, and Tom Clare. 13 TVs, Premier League matches, Major League Soccer, NFL Sunday ticket. Who wants to talk about the NFL? We're not talking NFL. 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits. Jay is the man. It's a rooftop patio. It's a real soccer pub feel. I know they're going to have a lot of people down there for qualifiers, both Mexico and the U.S. on Friday. It is an awesome spot, and El Bateon's been in there making it even more awesome. We'll take a break, roundtable time, plus we'll have an interview with Sebastian Legette and more. Thanks to everybody who's been watching in on Facebook. It's been great because it's reminded people that the show is on, and I appreciate all the questions. Take a break.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.